So the story of Jesus' torturous death on the cross, followed by his resurrection, I think has significant parallels for these times. With Jesus' crucifixion, a time of vision and inspiration ended abruptly. It seemed almost unfathomable to his followers that their teacher, who offered so much goodness, promise, and hope, could be so cruelly humiliated and executed. Jesus' followers were thrust into a period of unknowing in which they were lost and stricken by grief. Their hope abandoned, their vision killed. They were left in deepest mourning with a profound sense of loss, abandonment, and despair. And then, only 3 days later, the story goes, Jesus was resurrected. And some believe he was physically resurrected and walked among the people, and others believe it was a metaphor for his spirit continuing to live amongst people. Whatever your belief, a new beginning took place. So no matter what your particular relationship to this story, this tale of death, of confusion, of despair, and then ensuing resurrection, it's an interesting parallel for what we're going through right now. It's a powerful metaphor for these days, I think. Something within us, within our society, is dying. Life, as we knew it just a month ago, has changed dramatically. And many of the ways we did things, from being together physically, to hugging and shaking hands, to eating in restaurants, to gathering in groups and attending events, to working in offices, to even being able to buy toilet paper easily. All these things have changed significantly. Many of them have gone, perhaps never to return. The familiar structure of our lives has undergone a death of sorts, at least for a time. And for creatures who generally don't like change, we've been thrust into a dramatic transition in a very short space of time. 17 million Americans have lost their jobs in the last 3 weeks alone, and people can't pay their rent or mortgages, and some are unsure how they're going to pay for food going forward. So how about we take just a moment to breathe and mourn that new reality? Let us hold in our hearts all those who are food insecure at this time, or those whose businesses or jobs may never return. We hope that it's temporary, but we just don't know. So we're left in this liminal, transitional space. We hover between the solidity of the lives we once knew, the things that we could count on, but not really knowing what's next or when or whether we'll emerge from this pandemic. Our old ways of being have literally died, perhaps for a time, or perhaps forever. Just as Jesus' family and disciples were lost, confused, and grief-stricken after his death, we too are feeling all kinds of emotions and maybe finding it difficult to experience solid ground. Many of us feel lost, confused, and struggling to learn new ways. We're in shock. We're scrambling to adapt. We're not yet adjusted to a new way. In fact, we don't really even know what that new way looks like. So we're stumbling around in our grief and confusion until a new, clear, safer direction emerges. We are in what theologian Parker Palmer calls the tragic gap, a space between our former solidity and a new future. As Parker Palmer says, there is a hard truth to be told. Before spring becomes beautiful, it is plug ugly, nothing but mud and muck. But in that muddy mess, the conditions for rebirth are being created. We're in that muddy mess right now, my friends, in which the conditions for rebirth or resurrection of some kind are being created. It might be hard to believe because they're hard to see. Or if you prefer another image, we have leapt off one trapeze and are floating midair before catching the second. Last week, I took a webinar on managing transitions for leaders based on William Bridges' book, Managing Transitions, Making the Most of Change. And what struck me was how much it mirrored Jesus' story, as well as how many lessons it offers for the time we're in now. Bridges talks of three classic stages during transitions. The first stage is endings. This is the crucifixion. In our current time, it's the point at which the COVID-19 crisis led to the stay well at home order. And for us in California, that began March 12th, exactly a month ago today. It can be a time of shock, of overwhelm, of frustration, of denial and anxiety. We can feel confusion and resignation, anger, sorrow, and avoidance. Has anybody been feeling any of those things lately? Raise your hand, I know that I have. Bridges reminds us that it's normal. It's normal during a time of endings and huge transitions to feel scared and discombobulated. And he invites us to acknowledge what we've lost, to acknowledge what we're letting go of and saying goodbye to. Even positive endings involve some loss. So it's important to build in time outs, to pause and take a breath during this time and assess. Bridges also encourages us not to minimize, deny, avoid or ignore endings. And he says that if we don't give proper attention to our endings, then they often appear as symptoms in some other part of our life. We can actually recover faster from losses when we can put everything out on the table and share our grief. So talk to friends, tell them how you're really feeling. This is why we also hold rites of passage to mark endings, to pay real tribute to our losses. So let's spend a moment acknowledging our losses. I invite you now to type in the chat box some of the things you feel you've lost during these past weeks, some of your endings, and I'll read them out. I may not get to them all, but please go ahead and write some of your losses now. I know that I really miss being able to be with you all face to face and hugging you. I feel it viscerally, this lack. People are missing innocence. Darcy writes, remember the Chinese character for crisis is also the character for opportunity. She loves mud. Somebody writes, eye to eye heart talks, hugging my buddies, hugs with all of you. Oh gosh, I can't keep up here. 9 months of rapport with my students and not getting to say goodbye, yes. The choir, being able to grieve with my friends, indeed. I can't be with my student and the other members of the class I work in. Someone writes they really miss touch. Someone else writes social connections with friends of mine who are graduating from college this year. I mourn the time we would have been spending together now, yes. Someone else writes, missing face-to-face connections with college students, and time with grandchildren, choir rehearsals, and hugs with my family and all of you. Freedom to be with my family. I so miss my mountains and trails and flowers. Someone else writes, visiting my family. I miss hugging, big hugs. Yes, I so feel you. Someone else misses their mom and human touch. Austin misses his friends and I miss seeing everyone that I admire so much. Torkel misses Chalice in person. And Anahi misses the women's retreat in Catalina Island Primal Fire Retreat. I've been doing them 3 years in a row and was gonna be my fourth year. Renee Daig writes, Isabella grieves her senior year of college and graduation. Don and Nancy Cooper miss being docents at the Getty Villa. Ellen misses human touch. Savvy misses her daily 2 p.m. coffee breaks with my coworkers, my cousins, graduation, and fun times at the dog park. Barry misses warm, embracing arms of fellowship, and Melanie misses freedom to go to the beach, and Ben misses his classmates. Others miss being in limbo. Future plans are now on hold. Says Cara, visiting with my neighborhood friends for regular drop-by, music, dinner with friends, volunteer activities, breaking bread together, community to bring our soon-to-be baby. Who wrote that? I don't even know. Planning for the future, time for myself. Time, feel bad for the young people whose careers have been disturbed or who, for who knows how long. fellowship lunches with girlfriends and so many things. Spring break travel and being with clients and helping them heal and feel better. So many losses. So many. It's heartbreaking, isn't it? So we hold them and each other close to our hearts in tender respect. Grieving is a normal and natural part of transition. And my friends, we might also want to clarify for ourselves the difference between what is ending and what is not. What's being lost and what's not being lost. So I invited you to bring something to today's service that represents solidity for you. And I have this rock that I found on the beach a week ago. So pick up your object now and hold it in your hand. And if you didn't bring anything, just look around you and touch something that feels solid to you, perhaps your desk or the ground. What has not been lost? What remains here with you through everything? I know for me, this rock represents my home, my family, blessedly my ministry, my sweet dog, my friends, and my spiritual practices. What is it for you that remains? What is it for you that has not been lost? Take a moment now to type some of the things that remain steady for you in the chat box, and I'll read a few. My family, friendship and love, hummingbirds outside the window, it's spring and flowers blooming. My passion, communication with friends via video chats and FaceTime, running in the park, love of family and friends nearby. My loving husband and daughter, my garden and kitties, my blankie, dear friendships. My rock is still my rock even now, my connection with nature, community and self, memories of better times. My oblivious cat, books, music, nature, my dog, Winnie, so many wonderful things. What a blessing. So I invite you now to take your rock or whatever represents your solidity and place it on an altar at your home. And if you don't yet have an altar at home, we're going to be sending out a special email on Mondays for the next few weeks called Creating Sabbath Space. And this will give you tools to create your own sacred space or altar at home for this time. So I invite you to read that and follow the ideas. So we go forth now into the second stage of transition, which William Bridges calls the neutral zone. The neutral zone is the wilderness, the liminal in between time, or the tragic gap, as Parker Palmer calls it. It's the time between Jesus's death and his resurrection, when the disciples and family were in mourning and shock and had no idea what was next. It's the time we're living through now. The old way is gone, but we don't yet have the new way. Everything's up in the air. The French novelist André Gide wrote, "One doesn't discover new lands without consenting to lose sight of the shore for a very long time." And when we lose sight of the shore, we can feel a whole range of emotions, from confusion and chaos to nostalgia, anger, worry and resentment, or you may be feeling depression, fear, conflict and anxiety. Anyone experiencing any of those? I know my emotions are up and down so fast. I wonder about you too. So we would be wise to take this time to hit pause, to breathe and find our way again. It's a time to take stock. Relationships and deep listening are key elements to focus on right now, to really be present with one another and hear each other, to comfort each other. It's also a time to try new things, a time for creativity, to throw the metaphorical spaghetti against the wall and see what sticks. As you notice, we're trying different ways of gathering with our congregation to see what works for you. It's a time for temporary solutions as well as trial and error. Flexibility is key, and if we all keep doing what we can, when we can, we'll eventually figure things out. We can't expect the same level of productivity, perfection right now, so let's just let that go. There may be ambivalence and clouded thinking. So we must allow space for deep listening within, for good communication, the slowing down of expectations and demands. And then, my friends, eventually we reach the third stage, which is new beginnings, a new chapter, the resurrection. When we reach that place, it's a time of relief, of promise and hope, of acceptance and trust. I know when we gather together again, we're going to hold a huge flower communion to celebrate what we couldn't celebrate today. This time may be filled with excitement, enthusiasm, and the creativity of the new, even as we accept the loss that has taken place. It's a time for us to really look at our lives and the organizations we work with and ask ourselves, who are we now? What do we stand for? What's our purpose and mission now in this new place? And then celebrate this new identity. It's a time of rebirth when we rediscover what's beautiful in our lives. For the disciples, the new beginning was Jesus' spirit living among them again. It was a realization that we are not alone, that they were not alone, and that they could continue to be connected to him despite everything, that they could even form a new religion based on his teachings. But for us in this time, it might be the realization that there continues to be so much beauty and joy in the world, even in the midst of this difficult moment. Just look at the spring flowers making their way out of the muck and dirt. Just look at the grass growing, the trees budding, and the sun shining. So today, I also invited you to bring something beautiful and ephemeral with you, something that grows and dies, to the service to represent this. And as you saw earlier, I have a beautiful flower from my garden here. Oh, it smells good. And I invite you to hold up to your screen whatever you brought with you to symbolize the beauty and rebirth in your lives. And if you didn't bring anything, feast on others' images on the screen. During this time of new beginnings, of spring, of resurrection, we get to notice the ephemeral and beautiful things around us again and celebrate them. And when we're feeling down in the muck, they're the best antidote. Go outside and smell a beautiful flower. The author Barbara Kingsolver wrote, "In my own worst seasons, I've come back from the colorless world of despair by forcing myself to look harder for a long time at a single glorious thing, a flame of red geranium outside my bedroom window, my daughter in a yellow dress, the perfect outline of a full dark sphere behind the crescent moon, until I learned to be in love with my life again. Like a stroke victim, retraining new parts of the brain to grasp lost skills, I have taught myself joy over and over again," she writes. So what can you find that helps you fall in love with your life again, even in this time? Keep looking for the things growing out of the mud, the things that catch your eye or tantalize your senses, the bright shining colors around you. So we've talked about endings, the neutral zone, and beginnings. But these stages of transition are not necessarily linear. We can't exist in more than one of these phases at once. And then, of course, there's the marathon effect, where everyone moves through these transitions at a different pace. So our emotional experience of this time might not match up with others. And it's helpful to know this because it can lead to disconnection or scapegoating or blaming or even misunderstanding each other, which makes it especially important, my friends, to have great compassion for one another. And remember that we're all dealing with this transition in different ways. My friends, during this time of COVID-19, this Easter, I invite us to notice these stages of transition. Become aware of which stage you're in various aspects of your life. And perhaps develop strategies for how best to deal with each of them. Extend compassion and understanding to yourself and those around you, and realize that all you're feeling is normal in the midst of so much transition. So I invite you to gain courage from the fact that there's always something solid that we can hold on to, as well as something beautiful to find. And to quote the gorgeous song by Mark Miller we heard during our offering, based on words etched by a young Jewish girl on the walls of Auschwitz. I believe in the sun, even when it's not shiny. And I believe in love, even when I don't feel it. My dear, beautiful people, may we keep believing in the sun and believing in love. May we keep remembering what is solid and look for what is beautiful and emerging in our lives. And may we trust that our resurrection is coming. May it be so.